Hello, everyone. So good to see so many of your faces today. Welcome to our Course in Miracles study group. I'm so happy you're here. Before we go any further, let's drop in together for a few minutes in quiet together. So just settling in, if you'd like, maybe taking a few deep breaths. Maybe even letting out a big sigh. Just releasing whatever it is that you've been carrying around throughout the day. Just allowing your body and your mind to come into this moment, or at least inviting them to come into this moment. Our monkey minds often just want to go in the past, go in the future, or just mind chatter and mind wander like mad, and our bodies are only in this moment, although the Course says at no single instant does the body exist at all. But since we think we're in them right now, the body can be a repurposed tool, a repurposed vehicle to help us awaken, to help us ground and get present in this moment. Maybe just taking a moment and connecting with the soles of your feet, maybe wiggling your toes. Feeling your hips, your sits bones, tailbone, whatever, however it is that you're sitting, whatever part of you is making contact with the chair or couch beneath you. And just feeling your shoulders relaxed. And just settling into this breath. Imagining all of us right now in a circle, joining with this shared intention to connect in God, to join in love, which is what we truly are. And remembering that as any one of us drops in, it helps the rest of us. So even if we are still noticing those surface level mind chatter thoughts, just breathing in and just turning our attention again to, let's say, our hearts, our heart center. And bringing our minds to the thought of Holy Spirit and love and willingness. Where two or more are joined, the ego just falls away. And here we are, many of us joined together in this shared moment. Being willing to loose the world from all we thought it was, and doing so together. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Again, welcome everyone. So good to see all of you. I have to just tell you something really funny before we get started. As you all know by now, and if anybody doesn't, this may be your first hearing of this announcement, but I have been doing the study group for over 10 years now. And as we get to the manual for teachers, I will be stepping down, and Deidre Statz, who's here, will be picking up the torch and carrying on with the group. But I just have to tell you, the funny thing is that every meditation, I think every single week, I always close in the same way with that prayer from the course. And I cannot tell you how many times I've had like a moment or two of mind wandering and have thought I'm going to mess it up. And I think we'll actually get to the end of 10 plus years and I will not have actually done that. So it's happened a few times where I've almost doubted. I've always wanted to like put the prayer on my wall just in case I lose focus and lose the words, but it's never happened, even though I've thought it would a few times. Oh, so we will be continuing with reading part 25 in the Manual for Teachers, Are Psychic Powers Desirable? We read the first three paragraphs last week, and I feel moved, as we've done in previous calls, just to reread those paragraphs. We won't comment on those first three since we did that last week, and then I'll flow into the fourth paragraph, and then we'll pause, and then we'll talk about that there. So we're on page 1642 in the Purple Book and page 62 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. Again, whatever edition you have, it is Manual for Teachers, part 25. Oh, and before I read, I just wanted to share with you all. So we used to read from the Sparkle edition. Before the Purple Book, the CE came out, I always am like, you know, every time a new edition comes out, I'm like, ooh, gotta get it. Let's read it. And Ted Poppy was the publisher of the Sparkle edition, who recently passed away. And apparently he passed away the day after he got the Sparkle edition back on Amazon and put on Amazon this book. It is Helen's Notes. And what it is the first eight chapters of A Course in Miracles directly translated Helen's shorthand notes into English. There's no, as far as I can see, there's no even chapter organization at this point. It's literally Helen's notes translated into English. So I just love, I mean, I will probably always collect the next, you know, the next book that comes out, but it's just really awesome to see the flow of the conversation between Helen and Jesus. I just passed something where like she wrote something and then crossed it out, and you can see some strike through notation like that. Not a lot at all. It's mostly just the transcription put into English. But I just wanted to mention this. I have no idea, since Ted Poppy passed away, if his organization will continue to publish this after they sell out on Amazon. So I made sure to get one right away. Again, it's called Helen's Notes, Dialogues with Jesus, the scribing of the first eight chapters of A Course in Miracles. So I just wanted to recommend that if anybody is a big collector and a big course nerd like me. All right, we ready to read? Let's do it. So again, I'm going to reread just the first three paragraphs from last week, then I'll read the fourth, and then we'll pause. So, are psychic powers desirable? The answer to this question is much like the preceding one. There are, of course, no unnatural powers. And it is obviously merely an appeal to magic to make up a power that does not exist. It is equally obvious, however, that each individual has many abilities of which he is unaware. As his awareness increases, he may well develop abilities that seem quite startling to him. Yet nothing he can do can compare, even in the slightest, with the glorious surprise of remembering who he is. Let all his learning and all his effort be directed toward this one great final surprise, and he will not be content to be delayed by the little ones that may come to him on the way. Paragraph 2. Certainly, there are many psychic powers that are clearly in line with this course. Communication is not limited to the small range of channels the world recognizes. If it were, there would be little point in trying to teach salvation. It would be impossible to do so. The limits the world places on communication are the chief barrier to direct experience of the Holy Spirit, whose presence is always there and whose voice is available but for the hearing. These limits are placed out of fear, for without them, the walls that surround all the separate places of the world would fall at the holy sound of his voice. Who transcends these limits in any way is merely becoming more natural. He is doing nothing special, and there is no magic in his accomplishments. Paragraph 3, the seeming new abilities that may gather on the way can be very helpful. Given to the Holy Spirit and used under his direction, they are very valuable teaching aids. To this, the question of how they arise is irrelevant. The only important consideration is how they are used. Taken as ends in themselves, no matter how this is done, will delay progress. Nor does their value lie in proving anything. Achievements from the past, unusual attunement with the unseen, or special favors from God. God gives no special favors, and no one has any powers that are not available to everyone. Only by tricks of magic are special powers demonstrated. And paragraph number 4. Nothing that is genuine is used to deceive. The Holy Spirit is incapable of deception, and he can use only genuine abilities. What is used for magic is useless to him, but what he uses cannot be used for magic. There is, however, a particular appeal in unusual abilities, which can be curiously tempting. Here are the strengths with which the Holy Spirit wants and needs. Yet the ego sees in these same strengths an opportunity to glorify itself. Strengths turned to weakness are tragedies indeed. Yet what is not given to the Holy Spirit must be given to weakness. For what is withheld from love is given to fear, and will be fearful in consequence. And there we shall pause. Scott, I see your hand.
Hi, Corinne. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So, Corinne, going back to paragraph 2. Mm-hmm. I know we're supposed to be on 4.
Go for it. No, I was going to go back to paragraph 2, so I'm chuckling because
okay,
you're going
there. Okay. So here's that age-old question, which it starts on sentence 5. Limits the world places on communication are the chief barrier to direct experience of the Holy Spirit. And then here's the one I underlined twice. Whose presence is always there and whose voice is available but for the hearing. So my question is to you directly and to anyone else who cares to answer this. I have my own answer, but Corinne, how do you hear if this voice is available to everyone, but for the hearing, how does it come through for you?
Ooh, I love that question. Thank you, Scott. So I'll answer that. Then anybody else who wants to chime in, it comes through actually in many different ways. The predominant way for me is knowing. I'm trying to remember which Claire this is. We talked last week about clairsentience, which is feeling, which actually is claircognizance. I'm both of these. I feel it and I know. So a lot of times the knowing that comes in when I know it's like something that I'm like knowing through the Holy Spirit. And to me, actually the knowing and the feeling are like very intertwined. It's a feeling, a knowing that is still, that has almost like a resonance. Do you know, have you ever been in like a music hall or some place that has amazing acoustics and you sing a tune and it feels like it gets bigger because of the way the acoustics are in the room? That's almost how it feels to me, it feels like resonant in some way. There's like a certain feeling of, yeah, resonance is like the best way that I can put it. So I'd say my two primary channels are just feeling like I just know. It's just like this feeling of knowing. And like I just use the word feeling of knowing, which doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's the feeling part of me too that's very active, where I feel that inner resonance. I feel peace. It feels quietly joyous. It feels still. It's not like the urgent, contrast is a great way to put what it's not. It's not the urgent, like do something now, better go get this. Like that's that urgency for me is always of the ego. And if I'm feeling that urgency, that's a cue to me to pipe down and wait. So that's how it comes through to me. I see some other hands. So this is exciting. Carol and Pat, you're first, then Paula, then Andrea.
Hi, everybody. Hi. I guess for me, it can come in a variation of different ways. Usually it's a small voice that I hear, and it feels like it's talking right behind me. Mm-hmm. And then I get this warm sensation like, yeah, that's it. That's what I need to do. There are other times when somebody else is talking and it feels like all of a sudden, that's for me. Whatever they're saying, it's for me. And it's like, pay close attention because this is the message that's coming. They're saying it, but it's like their spokesperson. Those are the ways it does it for me.
That's awesome, Pat. And I'd love to just name that sort of hearing experience that you just described as clairaudience. So we tend to, at least, okay, I'll only speak for myself. I tend to segment guidance from like the clairaudience, clairsentience, you know, all that, like psychic things are one thing and guidance is another, but it says right here, it said it on the page, that certainly there are many psychic powers clearly in line with this course. Communication is not limited to the small range of channels we recognize. If it were, there'd be little point in trying to teach salvation. So it's saying right there that these channels through which we communicate with the Holy Spirit are channels through which we are picking up on information, you know, in all different ways. So thank you for that, Pat. Paula.
For me, it seems like it's an ask and it is given situation. It's like guidance that comes by asking. And recently, just this past week, I have a problem with my neck and I've been in pain. And I'm in another course group. And last week, I was asking Holy Spirit for help with this. I don't know what to do about this. And we are in the teacher's manual in that group also. And she chose to read how are healing and atonement related. And I'm telling you, it was like a bolt of lightning in my head. It described exactly word for word. And I read it every day now. My situation and the help that I'm getting from this is, but this is commonplace. Yeah. It's practical and it's commonplace.
Yes, it is.
And I bet everybody, if they really thought about it, would agree with me 100%.
Definitely. Thank you.
Including my cat.
Including your kitty.
Who wants some action here?
I love it when the pets come to visit us. Okay. Thank you, Paula. Thank you so much. Andrea.
I love that one. I've loved everyone's contribution so far. But for me, and I don't know if this is correct, but this is the way it seems like it's happening for me. I have this question all the time myself, so I'm really grateful to Scott for asking it. But the way it seems to feel for me is almost like a dialogue that I am having with higher self or with Holy Spirit. And it actually comes through more like talking, like where I'll be talking about something. It may be a statement, maybe a question, or maybe one of the lessons from the workbook, and I'll be talking it through. And then I will have the answer, like the other half of the dialogue, the answer come through a similar way. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying it out loud. I might be having this dialogue mentally, but it, for me, it seems like it comes through as a response and sort of a it's like a combination of knowing, but that comes through in words, either mentally or audibly. And it feels like it's a flow and a rhythm, and it just feels absolutely correct. And of course, and it's accompanied by a feeling of kind of excitement or enthusiasm, or you know, sort of like testimony in a church. You know, it's like, whoa, you know. it's got a lot of energy to it, not an anxious energy, but a sort of a in the rhythm flow kind of energy.
Right. That's awesome. Thank you, Andrea. You know, you just reminded me that those words can, I'm offering this because I just did this the other night where I wrote out a question, my question. And then I mean, the answer started coming even as I was writing the question, but like then getting a different color pen and asking Spirit to speak through you as you jot down what comes through, and that using words in that way too on paper can be a really helpful exercise to use the words and even writing. So thank you for describing that.
That's yeah, I've awesome. Done that same thing with two different hands, although my non-dominant hand, the writing is almost illegible. but I get the idea of it when I'm trying to slow it down enough to write it with the wrong hand.
Then
sometimes I do it with two different color pens, or even on two different pages of like an open notebook, like one page is me and one page is Holy Spirit.
Awesome. I love that. Thank you for those additional suggestions. So helpful. Thank you, Andrea. Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, you guys just mentioned this writing thing. That's something that I experience as well. And it's really profound because I write print. I write, you know, in just regular block printing. And I usually write a question out like you were mentioning. But then when I get quiet and just the answer starts dropping into my head, and then I start writing in longhand, in cursive. Mm. And I can see different you know, styles to that cursive writing, whether it's, you know, a different energy coming or what, I have no idea. I just know that, you know, it's quiet and it's, you know, the answers are always loving and they always come. But one of the things that I experience too is if I'm, you know, reading the lesson or, you know, reading the text, you know, or just any kind of, you know, material that, you know, associated with the course and whatnot, there's times I find myself like, I think it's my ego talking, where I'm trying to share that information with, say, an imaginary friend or somebody that, you know, a friend that I know, you know, and I have that image in my mind. But then it turns out that this voice that I'm hearing or that I'm speaking is actually speaking to me. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, you know, the reflective universe thing where, you know, what I, you know, see in you, I see in me. So if I'm, you know, sharing something or trying to explain something to somebody else, I take that as Holy Spirit explaining it to me. And it becomes really clear and really, you know, succinct. And then there's times where things just drop in and they just feel so good and so right, but I can't put it into words. You know, it's like you just get this huge dump and you just have this knowing. But then to try, you know, put it in a linear, you know, sentence or something like that, it just doesn't happen. So I just give up and say, okay, it's in the database. It'll be there when I need it. So yeah, it's really, really wonderful experiences.
I love that. It's in the database. Just trusting. It's in the database. It'll be there when I need it. That's great. Thank you, Steve. That's really, really helpful. I love your description about the cursive writing and just seeing how that might change. Beautiful. Scott.
First, a reiteration of Carol and Pat, you know, either one of you could be Carol or Pat, right? Because they're both interchangeable as male, female names. Anyways, I'm guessing I'm talking to Pat when I say, there are times when I'll be looking for a solution to something and I'll be talking to somebody and it has nothing to do with what I'm thinking about, and what comes out of their mouth is exactly what I need to hear to solve the problem that I'm looking for. And so I do my best to pay attention when other people are talking, because I never know when something like that is going to show up for me. Mm-hmm. And then two, Corinne, I'm on very similar page that you're on, in that I experience guidance through a feeling state or a resonance. It's not through words very often for me at all. Mm-hmm. I feel it. It resonates. It's intuitive, but I can't say I know it. And here's why. I moved into this place that I'm living in right now, and my guidance repeatedly told me, don't do it. And I had two people talk me into it. I'm about to move out in 3 weeks. It has been absolutely horrible. And wow. I didn't listen. And so I'm going through this validation process of, is this really guidance? I mean, I'm basing it on a feeling. There's no person there. There's no words. It's just based on a feeling. And then the second thing was that a few months ago, like this new place presented itself to me. And to me, it was way out of my price range as a new place to move to, right? Guidance was repeatedly, yes, 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 yes. And I'm just scratching my head like, this isn't possible. There's no way that I can afford that. Two nights ago, the money, and I'm moving into that place at the end of this month. And two nights ago, the solution appears in the form of assistance from my brother, who's going to help me do it. And wow. So impossible became possible. And so I paid a high price for not listening. Mm-hmm. And even by moving in here, and then, you know, I thought I was just absolutely out of my mind by moving into this other place. And yet the guidance was there that said yes. And so now I'm doing it at the end of the month. So that's it for me.
Scott, thank you so much for your willingness to share that story with us, because that just is really powerful, really, really powerful to hear that feeling. We need to be able to, all of us, you know, trust that feeling, even if sometimes it doesn't seem logical or, you know, it's not what our head is saying. If that feeling is there, it's something to tune into and pay attention to. And I always like to think that there's no accidents, no matter what. The experience that you just went through showed you that, like, you know, there's a difference between listening to that feeling and not listening to that feeling, being in sync and not being in sync. And so it almost is like the whole experience just reinforced listening to that feeling for you, you know? So it's not hopefully lost time, but, you know, part of growth and learning.
It's all part of learning.
Yeah,
That I'd like to add to it is that I just asked the question, Holy Spirit, is this a good idea? And if the answer is yes, I just get this feeling, and it virtually puts a smile on my face. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just clearly yes. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, I literally get a frown on my face, and it's not because I'm unhappy. It's just because that's the way that the Holy Spirit tells me that the answer is no. And so I remember when I was subbing one night for you, I just suggested to guys, hey, just ask, and, you know, Holy Spirit, is this a good idea? And see what comes up from a feeling state rather than try to think it, and mm-hmm. just experiment. Mm-hmm. Because that's how I got started. It was through experimenting with it. I'm still experimenting.
I think the experimenting is like lifelong, but I'm so glad you just said that word, like that you just named that word experiment, because that's how we can treat this, is as a big, let me experiment, you know, let me play with this. Let me do this experiment and see what happens. So thank you for your example, Scott. And thank you for just telling us even further how it's either a smile or it's, you know, a frown that you feel that, and that helps, you know, that informs you. So that's awesome. So helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Chaz.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry, my puppy is barking. It's usually very quiet here. Fanny, not the darling, please. Come on, honey. Come on. I'm sorry.
Fanny, that's okay.
I just wanted to share that when I'm quiet and I find it very comforting, sometimes my guidance will use vocabulary that I don't use in my rational mind.
Interesting.
It's very comforting to me. An early example, just silly. When I was a kid in school, there was a girl named Melody. I didn't like her, don't like the word melody. You know, dumb, random, right? I get beautiful guidance. What's in the word? What's in the sentence? Melody. See what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, okay, this is good. Well, I'm not listening to the ego, you know. And if it's accompanied with that piece, you know, and that the unfolding mm-hmm. without that sense of force. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to contribute that. It's very comforting to have that, just that sense of just effortlessness, you know, resting yeah. in God, you know, and even though I did not grow up Catholic or Jewish, I am astonished at the amount of guilt. I mean, it's so in the culture, you know, and just to continually forgive it as I see it within myself more and more and more. So,
right. And that's why when we have periods or moments or situations where that guilt comes to the surface, that's exactly the opportunity is to forgive it, to give it to the Holy Spirit, to look at it with Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. Thank you for adding that. That's so helpful. That element of surprise, like how you said, you know, it can be words that you don't usually use, or there's something there that you didn't think of before. I love that. Thank you for adding that, Chaz. That's gorgeous. I did see, let me just take a look at the chat real quick. I'm seeing some comments. Eric wrote, "For me, it's a knowing that comes with 100% certainty, surrounded by a feeling of love and peace, and time has stopped, and it always reflects into form immediately." Wow. That's awesome. Deidre wrote, "There's a phrase for receiving through writing. It's called automatic writing." That's awesome. Andrea, "I find that recognizing the times when we did not honor our intuition and did the thing anyway are almost as important as the times when we can notice experiencing the effects of what happens when following the guidance." I am with you. That's awesome. Jenny wrote, "It is concerning if you don't follow something, can things get off track?" It is concerning if you don't follow something. I think I understand the question, that like, if you don't follow something, things can get off track. Remember that, like, it's all for our learning. So like, there really is no off track. It's just, we might not listen to the guidance. Just like Scott said, do it anyway. It doesn't work out. That's information. And it's almost like my stepdad, and I've heard other teachers say this, like GPS is like a God positioning system. It'll kick in. Like if we go off course, we're going to know, we're going to feel it in some way, shape or form. And it's going to, you know, redirect us. And even if we seemingly stray, number one, we can't, in truth. Number two, if we seemingly stray, again, it's just for our learning. It's how the Holy Spirit teaches through contrast. We need that contrast to start to understand, this makes me happy and this does not. And when I listen, you know, to this feeling and, you know, whatever, things seem to flow, it feels right. That teaches me that I can trust that feeling and, you know, and so on and so forth. So thank you for that question. If I didn't answer it, please feel free to add more. And yes, growth is messy. Thank you, Paula. It sure is.
I'm sorry. I do feel sometimes that has happened in my life, that like my life is kind of hasn't gone the way it maybe it could have or should have maybe. And I have heard of the GPS concept, I guess. I guess I have to take that in and have to accept that. Yeah, that there is greater learning, even though it seems like things shouldn't have gone a certain way, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, again, this is messy, you know, this isn't, I need to blow something out of the water right now. If you're doing A Course in Miracles right, that does not mean that your life is perfect. This is an ego trap that we get on, that we think if I start doing my lessons perfectly and I start doing the course, everything's going to be happy and perfect and lovely. We did not come here to stay here or to like get comfortable here, to make this our home. That's not the whole purpose of being here. The whole purpose of being here is to wake up that this is not who it is that we are. And so we might need divine intervention of the rug getting yanked out from underneath us many times, you know, not that God ever antagonizes us. That's not what I'm saying, but just based on where we are in our growth and learning, it might seem like a gigantic upheaval is happening yet again. If we go back to an earlier part of the manual for teachers, where it talks about the different stages in the development of trust, you know, the different stages that the teacher of God goes through, there's a period of undoing, there's a period of sorting out, like it names it. It shows us that it is going to be messy. It's not linear and it's not clean. So if you start to notice or start to think, because I have fallen into this many times, it is an ego trap to think that a perfect life is equivalent to doing the course right. It might be just the learning that we need, a difficult situation that serves to uproot perceptions and beliefs that we didn't even know that we had. And I say that from experience based on what I just came, like the year of 2021 that I just came out of. It was so difficult, and nothing else would have brought me to a point of like being willing to release everything had all of that crap not happened. So any thought that a neat, tidy, non-messy life means you're doing things right, it can certainly, you know, the course does talk about how it says like the wind sinks to a whisper around your holy head. Like we can have these moments of rest and respite that perhaps do reinforce that we are on the right path, but it's important just to keep in mind that whatever is in upheaval, whatever has happened that maybe feels like it shouldn't have, but it did, it's still part of our learning. It's still part of our journey. Remember that the ego wrote the script. It wrote, you know, all these experiences that it's dreaming up to keep us utterly fixated in believing in the world and believing that we're bodies. The Holy Spirit rewrites everything. The Holy Spirit can repurpose everything if we allow her to do so. And in that repurposing, those experiences that would have kept us mesmerized and fixated on the pain, those experiences can now be used to help us open our vision, can help us open up and awaken. So it's so important to acknowledge that and to, you know, recognize that just because somebody seems to be having a smooth life does not equate to like, you know, doing the book perfectly. And if it feels like your life is falling apart, that doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It just means that there's another layer coming up for healing. And can we just have the tiniest bit of faith, the tiniest bit of willingness to keep going and to you know, be willing to learn, because this is our curriculum. We are in it right now, each of us. So thank you. Thank you so much, Jenny. Eric wrote, "The lesson I place the future in the hands of God protects you. It allows the Holy Spirit to intervene if you really start to go off track, as I've experienced myself." So I love that lesson. Thank you, Eric. I place the future in the hands of God. Wendy wrote, "Corinne is on fire." That's funny. Lorraine and then Deidre. I saw Lorraine's hand first and then Deidre.
I just wanted to say to Jenny that I think I can relate to what you're talking about. And I've done that, like, oh my gosh, I totally messed this up. And that was really a bad move. And what's helped me a lot is I can look back on my life and see certain things that seemed like really a bad mistake that ended up leading me to something that was really miraculous. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I can believe that there's other things that I may never even feel that or see the miracle that's at the end of that path for me or for someone I don't even know. And I can just believe that that's happening. And so this helps me to remember, like, I don't know anything. Like, if I think I messed up, I don't know if I messed up. I mean, I don't know what my best interests are. I don't really know what I want. And so the trust has been really helpful to me. It's hard though. So I relate.
Lorraine, I can't thank you enough for stating what you just did, because you reminded, number one, you brought us back to a key point, which is that I don't know what anything is for. We don't, from our limited perspective, we can't possibly understand what's going on, the greater, you know, the greater perspective. And the course says, resign now. I think it says resign now as your own teacher and resign as your own judge. Like the course says, when we have judged some of our greatest advances as failures, and the times when we're like not advancing and we're probably purely an ego, we've judged as like great success. So we're mixed up, you know, we can't see accurately on our own. It's the Holy Spirit through us. And so resign now as our own judge and our own evaluator of progress, because we just don't know. That's a much more kind and gentle place to hang out in that I don't know. So thank you. Thank you, Lorraine, for bringing that into the conversation. Deidre.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Just thinking about this conversation, it's so lovely that we're having it. And I was just really thinking about all the times that, you know, I've received intuitive information, and I remember early on when I started to receive intuitive information, there was a big part of me that was fearful of receiving the information. So that's when I would make quote unquote mistakes. And I remember like self-judgment coming in really strongly. And as time went on, I got more comfortable with receiving, but at first it really scared me. Like I was really, you know, afraid of my own power of it. And I recognize that it comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God completely, but I was still afraid of it. Mm. And so I think a big piece of the going off track is actually the learning that's necessary for us to trust that we really can't go off track, because there's learning in going off track as well. Mm-hmm. I have a teacher who taught at my counseling program, and something he said about enlightenment has always stuck with me because it's funny and it's true. He said enlightenment is like catnip for perfectionists, and the truth in that statement is that, like, we can't get it perfect. It's not supposed to be perfect. So the idea that we're as humans looking for something to receive perfectly all the time, we're missing out on the heart of the learning to trust if we're expecting that of ourselves. Mm. So I just wanted to share that piece.
Thank you so much, Deidre, for adding that in. So helpful. And that's really funny about the catnip. Really funny. Thank you. I just have to read this and then we'll keep reading. Scott just posted a quote from the course. There is no statement that the world is afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself. Scott, thank you for posting that. I just have to highlight from that quote. It says, I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am. You know, we think we're here. I don't even know where I am or how to look upon the world or on myself. So that's a good one. Better ask the Holy Spirit. Yes. That's right. So, okay. Coming back to, I don't think we commented specifically on paragraph 4. So let me just look at this really quick to see if there's anything that I felt moved to add. I love how, okay. So again, we're talking about psychic powers, intuitive gifts. The Holy Spirit is incapable of deception. He can use only genuine abilities. what we use for magic. So in other words, what the ego is using is useless to him, you know, because we're not giving it to the Holy Spirit, but what he uses cannot be used for magic. So again, this is the importance of turning everything over to the Holy Spirit, everything, whatever it may be. It talks though, in context of unusual abilities, as it says, there's a particular appeal in unusual abilities, which can be tempting. These unusual abilities are strengths that the Holy Spirit wants to use. And yet the ego will see these strengths as an opportunity to glorify itself. So are there intuitives out there who are solely giving their gifts to spirit and letting spirit use them? Absolutely. Are there intuitives out there that are, you know, using it to inflate their ego? I'm absolutely sure that there is as well. So as these things emerge, it's always important to just, again, this is where I go to just giving everything to the Holy Spirit, because it says what is not given to the Holy Spirit must be given to weakness. In other words, if we're not consciously giving it to the Holy Spirit, the ego is going to have a field day with it. Okay, so that's paragraph 4. We'll read the next one in just a moment. First, I see Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. I just wanted to add something that I'm hesitant to add because it's like a little new agey, but I think it's significant, at least for me. Well, for one thing, I've experienced visions and audio, subtle and loud, and anything that comes with that sense of peace and the tingling in my crown and my shoulder, my upper chakras areas, that feels like a confirmation for me. Mm-hmm. But it's few and far between. I mean, it has been very dramatic at times, mm-hmm. but it has been, you know, it comes and goes. And then there's the small things that are daily that are kind of like lyrics, you know, that show up in my head, or little images, or half a sentence or little download that'll feel like, oh, you know, I get this. Mm-hmm. But I'm reminded too that spirit can work through anything and does. And I can pick up the Bible or the Course or a book on Native American culture or Indian Hindu religion or almost anything, probably a novel or a tarot card book. And mm-hmm. I can have a response from that. Mm-hmm. This is the weird part. I have used a pendulum on and off for years. Mm-hmm. And I almost didn't want to say this because it's like, okay, this is not new age. This is not a cult.
I'm going to normalize this for you, Chris. Look what I'm holding.
Okay.
I just got one, actually.
Yay. Thank you for sharing.
Steve's holding his up too.
They, you know, at one point I was thinking, okay, I really shouldn't be using this. I shouldn't be relying on this. Let's test to see if the Holy Spirit can just, you know, I can just rely on messages without that. And because I do know that the ego can use this as well, just like anything else, like especially if I'm getting into what's happening in the future. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I don't want to go deeply into that. But when I stopped using the pendulum, my right arm, instead of my fingers moving, and I didn't have it in my hand, my right arm would start to circle for a yes or circle the other way for a no. I mean, just like on itself, I'd be walking around, you know, in a supermarket and I'd be thinking of a question and all of a sudden my arm would start spinning. So it's like, okay, well, if that's going to happen, I mean, I don't need to have judgment as to where it's coming from.
Right.
No, it was interesting.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Chris, and for your taking a risk and putting it out there. And nothing that you said sounded new agey to me, because again, these abilities, everything that you described are, I mean, the Course uses the phrase psychic powers. We tend to call them intuitive abilities. And as it says, as we read before, these, you know, if there weren't these channels of communication, salvation would be impossible. Like it'd be impossible to teach. We have these open channels through which we can listen and receive messages. And as long as we're turning it over to Holy Spirit constantly and being on top of our egos, that's what matters. It's about repurposing, you know, letting Holy Spirit use these strengths for the Holy Spirit's purposes. I just had a little ego thing come up. I think it was two nights ago. I don't think it was last night, where I was like, okay, Archangel Raphael, I really want to see you right now. Like, I really want to join, you know, and have an experience right now. And crickets, you know, absolutely nothing. And this was when I started doing the guided writing. The moment I asked the question, like, how do I connect with you right now? The instant answer came in that ego purposes are still present. They're going to come up on the path a lot. It's okay. You'll move through it, but we must be careful. And essentially what I was brought to was another open state of, I don't know what anything is for. I don't know what anything means. And it was a letting go of any desire for anything. And in that, that's when I started feeling very connected and tuned in again, from that place. So it is a matter of being vigilant, you know, for the ego and recognizing, yeah, we don't need a pendulum, but, and I don't want to just be, you know, engaging in like parlor games or anything like that. But if there is a avenue through which it feels like I can listen and focus, if an object in some way, shape or form helps us focus and tune in because we've given it to the Holy Spirit, then, you know, there's nothing, then the Holy Spirit will use everything that we've made. So just thank you, Chris, for sharing and for adding that. I appreciate it. Andrea.
So on that same note, just a question related to that last sentence in paragraph four. Mm-hmm. For what is yet what is not given to the Holy Spirit must be given to weakness. So the question that always comes up for me is like, what's the how of giving it to Holy Spirit? Like, how do we actually give it to Holy Spirit? Like, how do I do that?
I always go back to this drawing that I have. There's a couple of ways that I think about this. I'm just going to share my screen really quick because I actually have it on my desktop conveniently. And some of you have probably seen this already. I think I share this. If those of you who have taken the masterclass with me, I think I have this. This is my little drawing of like looking with Holy Spirit at something. So like, here's my ball of ick, whatever that ball of ick may be. I imagine the Holy Spirit next to me, looking at whatever this thing is with me, shining the Holy Spirit's love and light on it. So we're looking at it together. This to me is doing the same thing as handing it over, as like giving an ability to the Holy Spirit. I'm not keeping it. You know, I'm not keeping it hidden. I'm not keeping it for me. It's an offering. It's an opening to let the Holy Spirit repurpose it, look at it, use it, you know, in whatever way. So this is just one way that I conceptualize that of, you know, giving that ability over is looking at it with whatever that is. So if it's an ability, if it's a situation, looking with the Holy Spirit. And it's really, again, about intention behind the words. So if you're feeling that like, okay, I'm willing to like give this over, what is the how? Again, for me, the how is not hiding it. The how is like exposing to the Holy Spirit, whatever this thing is, to let Holy Spirit do what Holy Spirit, you know, wants to do with whatever that thing is. So does that help a little bit, Andrea? I'm sure this is a whole other sub conversation that we could have. I saw Scott's hand, then Dave's.
By the way, Corinne, this is our way of holding you up for the next 6 months or so.
I know, that thought crossed my mind. Not that that would be, you know, a bad thing or anything, but.
Well, it's just true. That's all there is to it. Okay. So this is a response to Andrea, for what it's worth, Andrea. I have to accept responsibility for what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. So, and I'll give a specific example with me. Lately, I've been feeling really angry with Jesus for not communicating directly with me about my health issue. Okay. So here's the ownership part. The fact is, he is not communicating with me directly about my health issue. Okay. But this is where the problem is. And this is what leads to all forms of anger in me. And according to the course, everybody else. It's the interpretation that I make, that I lay upon the fact that brings up the anger. And I looked at it today and I was like, no, wait a minute. What interpretation am I laying on this? And what I came up with is the fact that he's not answering me is a sure sign that I'm unworthy of being answered or responded to. And bingo, as soon as I knew that that's what was behind that, the anger, not the fact that he wasn't answering, I had something to take to the Holy Spirit, which was, oh my, Holy Spirit, this is about my unworthiness. It's not about Jesus at all. That is the kind of thing that I find that I'll get instant results with because I somehow managed to own my part in it and not just say, you know, help me with this when I don't really understand anything about it. I have to go a little deeper. That's all.
That was so spot on, Scott. Thank you for that. I loved every word that you just said about getting to that underlying issue, like, oh, what is your part in it, owning your part in it, and that looking at that belief in unworthiness then and having that take to the Holy Spirit, that's like, that almost feels like pulling the stopper out from the drain and like, you got it, like there's that underlying belief and pop that right out so things can flow. Thank you for that. Dave.
That just real quick, that little intermediate step of looking at the interpretation is really key in what I heard in that answer. So thank you.
Good. Awesome. Dave.
What I was going to say was that there's really no doing involved in the process. The Holy Spirit, all it cares about is our willingness. One of the, in fact, I think it's number 29 in the manual, says, never forget that the Holy Spirit does not depend on your words. He understands the requests of your heart and answers them. So that's all we need is a desire and that willingness. And it's done. That's our only part. So, you know, it's like, you know, the Father knows your needs before you ask, all of that kind of thing. Anyway, there's tremendous love there just the fact that we are taken care of so beautifully. Anyway, just wanted to share that.
You're getting lots of hearts, Dave, with what you're saying. And it's landing. It's certainly landing for all of us. So thank you so much for that. Beautiful reminder. Let's actually go ahead and just read the final two paragraphs just to close out this this section. And of course, this topic we can keep talking about in future sections, but we're here. So let's just read this. I'll read 5 and 6. Even those who no longer value the material things of the world may yet be deceived by, quote, psychic powers. I need to read that again. I feel like I read that weird. Even those who no longer value the material things of the world may yet be deceived by psychic powers. As investment has been withdrawn from the world's material gifts, the ego has been seriously threatened. It may still be strong enough to rally under this new temptation to win back strength by guile. Many have not seen through the ego's defenses here, although they are not particularly subtle. Yet, given a remaining wish to be deceived, deception is made easy. Now the, quote, power is no longer a genuine ability and cannot be used dependably. It is almost inevitable that unless the individual changes his mind about its purpose, he will bolster its uncertainties with increasing deception. Before I read the last paragraph, what comes to mind at the moment is the story about I don't remember if it was a vision or a dream by Helen Schuckman, where she was presented with a scroll. And if she rolled the scroll out to the right, it was like, what's in the future? And if it was rolled out to the left, she could read the past. And she stuck with, no, like, I'll stay on the present. And that was like the answer to show that she was willing to use her ability, you know, for the Holy Spirit's purposes. So that story just came to mind as we were reading this. And let's read paragraph number 6. Any ability that anyone develops has the potentiality for good. To this, there is no exception. And the more unusual and unexpected the power, the greater its potential usefulness. Salvation has need of all abilities, for what the world would destroy, the Holy Spirit would restore. Quote, psychic abilities have been used to call upon the devil, which merely means to strengthen the ego. Yet here is also a great channel of hope and healing in the Holy Spirit's service. Those who have developed, quote, psychic powers have merely let some of the limitations they have laid upon their minds be lifted. It can be but greater burdens they lay upon themselves if they utilize their increased freedom for further imprisonment. The Holy Spirit needs these gifts, and those who offer them to Him and Him alone go with Christ's gratitude upon their hearts and His holy sight not far behind. So I hope that our discussion today and last week, and of course all time, but particularly with this topic of quote, psychic powers, I hope this has been empowering for each of us to recognize that this is talking about you. This is not talking about other people, you know, in the room or anybody in particular. It's talking about you, that we all have these abilities. And as they show up, it's merely showing us that we're slowly, you know, we're letting go of these blocks that we've laid upon our minds. And I hope this is also a motivation to pay attention to, you know, if you do know that you tend to receive information in one avenue over another, nurture it, practice it. I'm just actually finishing up a class right now where the teacher is really encouraging us to practice these abilities. Like, just like you would lift a weight to strengthen your arm muscle, you wouldn't just lift it once or twice or be willy-nilly. You would give it some space and some focus and some time and attention in the Holy Spirit's hands, of course, always. Letting the Holy Spirit lead the way every step, because again, as it said so clearly in this section, that the ego is going to see this as a very tempting, you know, way of making itself special, of bolstering itself up, of claiming that specialness, and the Holy Spirit desperately needs our abilities to be handed over so they can be used to wake up the world, which so desperately needs love and healing. So before we go, are there any final comments or questions? I'm just reading in the chat. Michelle wrote, this is so beautiful. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in so many ways. It is so affirming. I agree with you. Eric wrote, the Course counsels to give it over to the Holy Spirit. You must first forgive, then pray. For me, I overlook the error, forgive, then inside pray, i.e. I either just observe the thought, emotion, or I think I will forgive this and it will disappear. Thank you, Eric. Oh, all right. Oh, I missed one. I'm sorry. I hope I got them all. But Stephanie wrote, for what is withheld from love is given to fear and will be fearful in consequence. Really explains anxiety. Yes, I agree. Thank you, Stephanie.
Can you read that one again, please?
The quote that I just read? For what is withheld from love is given to fear and will be fearful in consequence. That was somewhere in this. I think that was just from this section, right? Can anybody find it real quick before we go?
It's the last sentence in paragraph 4.
Thank you. There it is. Yet what is not given to the Holy Spirit must be given to weakness, for what is withheld from love is given to fear and will be fearful in consequence. Thank you. Thank you, Andrea and Stephanie. All right. Love to each and every one of you. I love you all. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And I'll see you next week for the next section. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Corinne, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining. Bye, everyone.